And then it says that the Spirit began to move, evidence that God's hand was upon this child and upon this family. And we see often the Spirit of God being upon Samson. Not all the time, but the Spirit of the Lord would come upon. And I think that's true for us. We need to pray that we might continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Bible says, the wind blows here and there, and you don't see the presence, but you can feel it, and so is the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that God would fill us, because we are leaky vessels, as Walter Martin used to say, and we need that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges 12 and 13.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because.
So you see what's happening now. I have to say, God, whatever you're doing, I know there's a lot of pandemonium chaos, but that is exactly what happened that we're reading about here. To bring them to a knowledge of the true Messiah that has come, that can save them from their sins and have heaven awaiting, a true heaven, a true paradise in heaven. Not what the Muslims said, where there's how many 70 virgins and stuff. Yeah. If there are, those virgins sure don't want to have anything to do with you after what you've done, you know, coming there. But that is just so phony, appeals to the flesh. And so that's what we're seeing here. Now, God is really using that 40 years of oppression of the Philistines to chastise Israel. And so now they're coming to their senses. And so now, because they didn't drive them out, God used them, the Philistines, to chastise Israel. And so now Israel's coming to their senses. But notice what the angel of the Lord says and what we find with Manoah's wife. She's barren. And barrenness in that culture was really a dishonoring thing to a family, and especially to the woman. And it was a shame in that culture. Now, usually you'll find all throughout the Bible there were those that were barren for a while, and they would never blame the woman or blame the husband. You know, it was just one of those things. It was a shame, but then they would pray. It really created a prayer life too. And that's what you find with Hannah. She prayed and God gave her a son, Samuel. And yet you find, I think of Henry VIII, I just kind of looked him up, Henry VIII, because I knew he didn't have a son, but he blamed his wives. And a couple of his wives, they said, died of natural causes. Oh, really? Poison, natural causes, because they didn't bear him a son, and so he blamed them. The other were put to death. They said, well, they were having an illicit affair. I doubt that. I just think he put him to death because couldn't bear, and he did have one son. But there's no blame in that. It's just God was withholding for a time. Yet the Lord is in charge, and he was in charge of the timing of all this. And now this place that the angel appeared to them, Zoar, it's about 14 miles west of Jerusalem. So they're very close to the center of where really God's government would be ultimately and eventually. But you never want to underestimate God's power and God's miracle. this boy will be a Nazarite. And you can read what a Nazarite is in Numbers chapter 6, because it lists the whole idea of being a Nazarite. Shave the head, can't drink any wine, can't eat grapes or raisins, that kind of thing. And so we see it here. Gives part of the rules what to do. But really it means to separate. That's what a Nazarite is, separated unto God, devoted to God. And the alcohol, obviously, drink no strong drink, and goes on after that and mentions that when she comes to her husband. But you see, even before the idea, even before doctors mention what alcohol does in the womb of that child that is being born, you didn't have the medical discovery. You just had God who knew what would happen. No alcohol, that was banned. Don't do it as the Nazarite vow because it's hazardous. The Bible does say in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. But here's what, medically speaking, alcohol does in a pregnancy. Alcohol use during pregnancy can cause birth defects and developmental disabilities, collectively known as fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, or FASDs. It can also cause other pregnancy problems such as miscarriage, stillbirth, and prematurity. So, you see, God is way ahead of the medical field. That's why he's given us an immune system, you know, for whatever comes our way, we can, you know, cast it off. That's why I am so cautious and that we warn you about these vaccines that this government is putting in people, and people are dying and they're having disabilities permanently for life. The news we can use, you've got to read it because you've got to make a decision for you and your family. Now, if you've already taken the vaccine, well, pray. I understand from these doctors, they say that ivermectin can reverse some of the bad effects of, you know, of the vaccine. But anyway, that's the whole different subject in itself. But the news we can use, we always put new articles up there. And so I think it's important. But notice Samson, he's of the tribe of Dan, And Dan, his name means judge or judgment. Dan does, that tribe, judge or judgment. But the prophecy that came from Jacob in Genesis 49:16, it's a prophecy of Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Ah, there it is. So through Samson, that's part of that prophecy coming to pass. And so here, Manoah's wife, she's barren, childless, waiting in faith. And that's always good, to wait in faith for God's blessing. And you see, when we wait in faith and we endure that, it's really a message to others, and it really helps others in their enduring. And maybe they get discouraged, but you can, you know, you can give your witness because you've been through that and you know, you know what it takes. I mean, me and my wife in marriage, we've been married 57 years. In February, it'll be 58 years. And so I know the trials that you go through in marriage, so I can speak from experience. And so whatever it might be in your life, as Manoah's wife here, she just had to wait. And by that waiting, it helps others who are waiting as well. When it talks about the angel of the Lord, as it's mentioned here, and as we go on, I believe it's a Christophanies, or an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Because notice in verse 18, it says, what is your name? Why do you ask my name? Since it's wonderful. Ah, what does it say in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace, and so on and so forth. So it's one of the names of Jesus. So that's an indication. I'm not saying everybody believes it's a Christophanies. I think the evidence is there. Verse 19, he says, it's the Lord, Jehovah. Verse 22, it said, I have seen God. So obviously we know it's a theophanies, which is a, an appearance of God in the Old Testament, angel of the Lord, it is an appearance of God, or a Christophany's appearance of Christ. And I think it's that because he says, since my name is wonderful. And so, but you know, we don't have to debate that. We just know it's really the Lord appearing to him. And one of the things that we have to say about Samson, and I think sometimes we can say about ourselves, is some people just don't appreciate the calling of God in their life. Because just as Samson was a flawed hero, so are all of us. We're flawed. But he was cut short of his full potential. God forbid that you be cut short of your full potential until you are face to face with the Lord. I've seen too many ministers, family, and friends fall. I don't want to. I want to face the Lord without falling, and I mean falling away from the Lord. And so we've got to own that calling of God. Notice in verse 5, it says that the beginning, and he shall begin to deliver. Begin. Yeah, but you see, you want to finish well. You want to run the race with endurance and finish well. He began, that was good. But he didn't end. He didn't fulfill his full potential. He was cut off. Cut off, and as we go through it, we'll see it. Well, notice it goes on, verse 8 to 14. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, please, let the man of God whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again to the woman as she was sitting in the field, and the woman as she was, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now, when your words come to pass, what shall be the boy's mode of life in his vocation? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the woman pay attention to all that I said. She should not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observe all that I have commanded. So Manoah, notice one of the things, I mean, we're talking about miracles here, but Noah believed his wife of this miraculous thing. Now, that's kind of a miracle because not every husband believes her wife. So he believes her. Jesus, remember what Jesus said to the disciples after he was resurrected? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And Manoah, I like this because it seems like the angel of the Lord is appearing to the woman and not to the man. You see, sometimes guys get jealous of their wife because they're more spiritual than them, or at least they have, you know, a love for the Lord that maybe puts the man to shame. Should never be. She should be that encouragement. Maybe you get on board with the Lord. But what we see here is, as he now comes, he comes and he wants to know, what do? How do we raise this son? Now, the concern is how to raise the child. It's kind of a hands-on, because that's what most guys are. They're more hands-on. Don't tell me all the details. I don't need to hear all the details. Just tell me what I'm to do. God, I know what you want to do, and I'm all for that. You're going to do that, but what do you want me to do? Because I want to do it right. I like that. Manoah, it's just like you don't see anything but, yeah, let's go. Let's go, sweetheart. He's coming to you, and I want to know what he has to say. And so the angel appeared that second time to Manoah's wife, second time. And it says she was alone. No, alone in the field. Maybe she was meditating. Maybe meditating, or maybe in prayer. Maybe consideration of the enormity of the message. She's going to have this child. It's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to deliver Israel. And she wanted her husband to hear, not because of what she said, not that I'm going to go back and tell my husband. No, I want to get my husband to hear you, what you have to say. I don't want him to hear secondhand. I want him to hear firsthand. And so she brings Manoah to that place. And Manoah, again, I like it. He's not envious. He's not envious that God came to the wife and not to him. Two times. And so here, let's go verse 15 all the way down to 23. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us retain you so that we may prepare a kid for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord." That basically, a burnt offering is total dedication. You roast everything there. It's burned to ashes. It means a total dedication. I'm all in for what the Lord wants to do. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. I like that. He thought he was a man. He didn't know he was the angel of the Lord. We'll see that he will find that out. Then Manoah, verse 17, said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you." But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, and he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like this at this time." So again, she's a spiritual woman. Manoah, it seems like he talks very freely, because he thinks it's just a man, a spiritual man, maybe a prophet or something. And so he's talking freely, but he didn't know it was the angel of the Lord. I suspect if he knew that, it doesn't say it, but if he did know that, he would freeze up. He thought they were going to die because he realized it was the angel of the Lord. He'd become tongue-tied or stuttered, or maybe stumbled over his words, or he wouldn't speak at all. I mean, if it was you or me, and you knew it was the angel of the Lord, you'd probably be tongue-tied. You wouldn't be asking too many questions. But then Manoah, he begins to ask kind of some curious things, kind of some vain things. "Tell us about yourself." "Why do you ask, seeing I'm wonderful?" You know, so he's not into this small talk type stuff. And the angel of the Lord doesn't answer. But when he offers the offering, he did accept the offering and ascended in that flame. And then they knew it was not a man, it was an angel. The Bible tells us in Psalm 104:4 that he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So Manoah just recognized it was the angel of the Lord. And then he says, "We're going to die. We're going to die." Maybe thinking of what Moses, remember Moses in Exodus 33:20, "No man can see my face and live." as God said to Moses. So Moses saw the hind parts of God as God covered him. But Noah's wife, I like this, assures him they will not die. She's the weaker vessel, but she's the stronger believer. Weaker vessel in that sense that physically, but spiritually, she seems like the one that is the spiritual woman in the home. And then he ends up, verse 24-25, and the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanaim Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so God is good to his promises, as he promised a child. And he gave that child, they named the child Samson, or son-like. That's what that term is, or that name, son-like. We don't know what and why son-like. Maybe the appearance, that awesome appearance of the angel of the Lord. You know, we don't know what the countenance was like. It wasn't described. But maybe it was a son-like countenance. You know, just kind of glowing. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone, you know, being in the presence of the Lord. And so we don't know, but Samson, son-like. And really, the son is compared to a strong man to run the course. You find it in Psalm 19:5. And so it's a good name, Samson, Samson, son-like. And then it says that the Spirit began to move, was moving, evidence that God's hand was upon this child and upon this family. And we see often the Spirit of God being upon Samson. Not all the time, but the Spirit of the Lord would come upon. And I think that's true for us. We need to pray that we might continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Bible says, the wind blows here and there, and you don't see the presence, but you can feel it, and so is the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that God would fill us, because we are those that are leaky vessels, as Walter Martin used to say, and we need that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges 12 and 13. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges, chapter 14. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.